in our Bibles in the book of Proverbs, and we're in between series here right now. In 2 weeks, I'll start a new series. It's going to go with the theme of the new year, but I haven't announced that yet, so I'm not going to announce the series yet. So we're going to do this week and next week on the same subject, and in Proverbs chapter 11 is where I'll be reading from. Proverbs pretty much in the middle of your Bible, pretty close to it, a little past the middle, and I'll be... This will be a little different because I'm going to be going from this lesson to our church lesson. And so we'll start off here, and then this morning's message will kind of connect to this Sunday school lesson. I'm going to talk about integrity. This lesson is going to be preserved by integrity. But then I will talk about integrity in church. And then next week in Sunday school, during this hour, I will talk... the how to get integrity. And so Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." Why don't you read that with me if you have your Bible ready? "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." All right, let's go ahead and pray about this and talk about this a little bit. Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the wisdom of your Word. It's amazing. And it's so practical. It's so relevant today. And Lord, we need this lesson badly, Father. We need you to speak to us with this lesson. We pray the Holy Spirit come. We pray the Holy Spirit to speak. We pray that we would hear from you and your power rest upon us. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for truth from the Word of God, and help us to understand and retain this, Lord, and help us to get it in our lives, and give some grace to those who might not have it to get it, and help them to, even though we're not going to teach how to get it this week, I pray we'd get it, and they'd have grace and to make it until they can get it, Lord, because this integrity is vital. Please help us understand it in Jesus' name. Amen. Integrity in the Hebrew... is the word tome. It means completeness, full innocence, or perfect. Integrity is a good Bible word, and it's kind of moving out of our vocabulary. It was a more commonly used word throughout history and throughout American history, and probably until about 30 years ago, it was a pretty common word. If you're in your 50s. Integrity would be a word you'd know pretty well. If you're in your 40s or 30s or 20s or teens or something, you'd kind of say, well, yeah, I kind of know what that means. It actually has become more of a engineering word than a life word now, and because it's changed. If you're talking to someone in construction maybe or someone in engineering, integrity is a very important word. But not in the moral sense where the Bible has that word. The word means completeness. If you look at the root word and everything it comes from, completeness is where it comes from. And so I'm going to explain it to you a little bit of what integrity is and how important it is. It says, number one, what integrity is. Integrity is a life without fault in it. That's what integrity is. It's a life without fault in it. Now, it's not a sinless life necessarily, but it's a life without fault in it. And that's important because we'll explain that. It's not necessarily sinless, but faultless in life or in circumstance. Someone could be not a person of integrity, but have integrity in an area, in a certain area of their life. And they have integrity in this particular area. And so they would be able to, that would help them to have that. So we see this verse here, the integrity of the upright shall preserve them. Notice there it says they're upright. So an upright person has integrity in them. And so we find that integrity inside of them. And so there we go, integrity of the upright. Okay? An upright person has integrity inside of them. Where's Dave? Dave in here still? Might need, oh, his prayer closet. Charlie, you want to see if they want to take the baby to the nursery for us? All right, the integrity of the upright there. And so we see they have uprightness. And that's a good word for integrity, upright. An upright citizen, for example. Upright is who they are. It's who they are. One of the things to understand is if you work on who you are more than you work on what you do, if you are what you should be, you will do what you should do. But if you are not what you should be, you will always go back to not doing what you should do. In other words, it's you got to change who you are. You can't just change your actions. Now, the actions should be worked on and they should change. But once you're upright or once you have integrity, you don't do something because that's not who you are. You follow that at all? Did you get that? In other words, if you have an integrity in you, then you do the right thing. But if you don't have integrity, you might psych yourself up to do the right thing, but you're going to find yourself back down doing the wrong thing because you don't have the integrity inside of you. Integrity is vital, and so you got to have that. It's who you are. It can also be in a circumstance. Let me show you. Take you back to Genesis. A person, we don't know if he had integrity or not. He certainly wasn't a man of God. In Genesis chapter 20, we'll see a man who says, "In this situation, I had integrity." And so, because he says, I was complete. I was perfect. I didn't do anything wrong in this situation. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 4. But let me tell you a story. Abimelech was a king in the region there. And what happened is Abraham and Sarah came in. Sarah's very beautiful. And Abraham was afraid that they would kill him for Sarah. So Abraham told Sarah, tell anybody if they come to marry you, tell them you're my sister, because they were step brother and sister. Abimelech came and said, wow, she's incredibly beautiful. And he says, I'm going to take her to my harem. And she said, okay, he's my brother. So God ended up coming to Abimelech and said, hey, don't touch that woman. That is her husband. And Abimelech talks to God about this because God is talking to him in verse 3. And God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Maybe God takes that seriously, adultery, by the way. Okay. But Abimelech had not come near here. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is thy sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said in him a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Wherefore sufferest thou not to touch her. So he says, I know you had integrity in this thing, Abimelech. I know you didn't want to touch her. I know you didn't take her. You didn't know. I know you didn't know that. And so you're not going to be punished because you had integrity in this situation and you did the right thing. Now, I want to say, so let's say we get integrity in a situation. Let's say you have a relative who wants to do the wrong thing and they're mad and angry at you, but you know, I didn't really do anything wrong. Okay? I've had integrity in this situation. Then you go to God and say, God, you know, in the integrity of my heart, I've done what I've done. I have integrity in this. And so I have completeness. I have innocence. I haven't done anything wrong here. And so what you do is if you have integrity, what you do, it's a wonderful thing because sometimes people who've done the right thing get so frustrated because they're mistreated or they're accused and they say, no, I've done the right thing in this. Maybe I didn't know this is wrong, or I didn't know this is going to bother them, or I didn't know that this is going to hurt somebody. And so what you do, or you know what, Lord, they're just after me for the wrong reason and they've accused me. People in Psalms oftentimes said, Lord, judge me according to my integrity in this situation. And let me just show you that. So what you do is if you've had integrity, then you go to God and plead your cause saying, Lord, I've had integrity. I've had completeness and purity in this. And we'll look at Psalms chapter 8. Yeah, something tells me that is not the verse I'm looking for. I'm going to... And it is not. And I'm going to see if I have my notes back here somewhere. If I can find my notes. Give me a second on this. It is not Psalm 8. And I'm not going to find it right now in this time. But let me just say what to look up. Look up in Psalms. Look up. Lord, I've walked in my... Plead my cause according to my integrity. For I've walked before you with integrity. And he says these type of things many times. Here's my notes. Let me just see if I can find it real quick. The verse I am looking for, and defending his integrity. Let's look at Psalm 7. Let me see if it's this. There it is. There it is. Okay, it's chapter 7, verse 8. It says, the Lord shall judge a people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. So there it is. He says, judge me according to my integrity. And so what you do, if you've done right, and this is so important, it's so comforting when you learn to do this. God judges integrity very highly. And if you've done right, go to God and say, Lord, I've walked in my integrity. Judge this situation according to my integrity. See, what you do instead of saying, I've got to fix this, I've got to get them to quit accusing me, I've got to get revenge, you just say, Lord, I've walked in integrity, judge me according to the way I've walked in this thing. And you ask God to make the judgment, and He will fix everything. He will put one down and set up another, and He will do the right thing. Integrity is more than you what you have in you. It's what you do. Look at Psalm 26. It's more than what you do. It's what you have in you. It's more what you have in you than what you do. Psalm 26 and verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. So it's a lifestyle. I will walk in my integrity. So that's what integrity is. And that's what it basically is. Number two, what does it do? Number one, it makes you innocent before God. It makes you innocent before God. And so God says, I will judge you according to your integrity. It makes you right before God. But let's go back to our original verse, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3. It guides you in life. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. I want to say this. Integrity is not an action. It's principles. And one of the most wise things you will ever do in your life is become a principle-driven person. See, once you have certain principles, principles guide you. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Integrity is having principles in your life. Let's say integrity is who you are. Remember, it's something very deep. Well, integrity will guide you in your life. Guiding your life is principles. See, what in these principles, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Let's illustrate this way. Let's say you have integrity and honesty. Now, if I say, let's raise your hands if you understand you are a person who is never going to steal. Okay? If I had you raise your hand on that, there would be, and we're all honest, there would be a certain amount of people in this room who you have a principle in you. It's built, and maybe your mom and dad taught it to you, maybe you learned it somewhere, maybe somebody stole from you and you got so mad about it, you said, I'll never steal again. But you just don't steal. But there'd be a whole bunch of people who don't have that integrity. And hello, Chase. How you doing, buddy? And they don't have the integrity not to steal, so they make the decision every time whether they're going to steal. Okay? There is a big difference. There's a reason his name's Chase. But do you understand? I want to get to the real important point there. There is a person who will not steal because they have the integrity. They cannot do it. There's another person who decides every time if they're going to steal. Okay? I don't want to embarrass some people. See, understand, there were times in my life when I didn't have integrity. And you know what decided whether I stole or whether I lied? It was this. That's what decided. Because I had no integrity. Those of you who had integrity, you could steal the money and your boss never know it, and you still wouldn't. Because you have integrity. There are people who just will not lie. They have integrity. And so, but the person who doesn't have that integrity, they have to choose every time that decision. Okay? There are certain people who go to church. They just go to church. They don't decide if they go to church, they go to church. And other people decide if they go to church. Okay, when principles decide things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. If I get that principle in Matthew 6:33, a lot of my decisions are made. Do I tithe? Yes, I'm seeking God's kingdom first. Do I go to church or do I watch a football game? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Decision's already made. That's the principle. I have integrity, and so I'm going to do that thing. Am I going to lie? No. And so, seek ye first the kingdom of God makes, when you have to make a decision on every single thing, you find you make a lot of wrong decisions. When you get integrity in your life, integrity makes the decisions for you. There are certain people, for example, who would never hit a woman. They couldn't make themselves do it. I hope that's every one of you men, by the way. Amen. It's every man. It's just some of you boys don't do that who are adults. But every man doesn't hit a woman. But you had that built into you. Your dad preached that into you. Your dad, if he's dead, would come back from the dead and kill you if you hit a girl. And so you have it built into you. It's in your integrity. You'd never do that. Somebody else, I would never harm a child. Here's the thing. When it's in your integrity, many times if you're brought up with it, you just think that way, and you think anybody who doesn't have that is terrible. Integrity can be learned later in life. Some people with integrity in certain areas don't have integrity in other areas. A person might never hurt a child because they have the integrity, would never abuse a child. However, they might steal you left and right. A complete person, a person who walks in integrity, it's their whole life, they might slip up sometimes, but in general, their life is completely trustworthy. I tell you, there are people that I do not like doing business with, even though they might be a skilled person in that area, because they do not have integrity, and they're going to probably try to find some way to rip me off because they have no integrity. You know what I'm talking about? They might be skilled. They might have. Sometimes you might get a good deal from, and sometimes they might rip you off. There's no integrity there. A person of integrity, if something goes wrong in the job, they will make it up to their own loss, even though they don't have to, because their integrity says they have to. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about integrity here? I'm trying to describe it to you. What it does, it makes a bunch of decisions for you. Am I going to work hard today? You know, a lot of people every day decide if they're going to work hard by this. But some of you, when you go to work, you're going to work hard whether anybody ever sees you or not. It's built in. You have integrity in your work ethic. I didn't have that for a long time. Once God instilled it in me and beat it into me and I got working hard, now I can't be lazy. It's very hard for me to be lazy. Matter of fact, if I'm just standing there, I just can't. I found out that being lazy is harder than working hard. Your day goes so much slower when you're lazy. When you get busy and work hard, the day goes faster. And so when you get that integrity, work hard, you have that. And the boss doesn't have to watch you all the time. And one of the hardest things in the world is working with people with that integrity. They will work harder not to work than they will to work. I mean, they will climb Mount Rainier to not work hard. It's amazing how hard they work to not work because it's not in them. And certain people don't have that. Integrity is a principled life. Principles decide for you. An honest person does not need to decide if they're going to steal or give it back or whatever. They're going to do it. A principled person. Let's look at a principled person. Psalm 101. Watch the principles of his life deciding what he's going to do. And I wish I could teach you today, but I won't have time, how to get integrity when you don't have it in an area or in a life. A lot of people don't have any integrity in their life. It's all circumstantial. But you want integrity. That heater is cranking today, isn't it? I have no idea why. It is just blowing in here. Let's see. Aaron, will you grab that door stopper there and just prop that door open a foot or so? I'm going to have all the women run out of the room and I'm going to have a bunch of people fall asleep. Psalm 101. We have integrity, we won't fall asleep in church, though. Psalm 101, verse 3. It says, I will set... Now, watch the principles here. He's not going to say, I'm not going to try this. I'm not going to do this very often. Watch. Verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. I will not do this thing. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Okay? He's got principles here that are deciding, am I going to hang out with this person? He's already got the principles. Am I going to look at this thing? He's already got the principle. The principles, the integrity is deciding what he's going to do, not looking over his shoulder. Verse 5, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. I'm not going to do that. And can I just say this for a second? Alcohol and drugs erase integrity. The person who used to be a decent person will now steal from their own mother to get their drugs now. Integrity is erased by drugs and alcohol. I remember I told you before about the story about my neighbor, but my best friend, his dad was an alcoholic, a nasty alcoholic, a mean alcoholic, and terrible. And she sat down with us one night and just was crying and just said to me, us, that man is not the man I married. I married a good man of high character. He cheated on her. He beat her. The alcohol. And so those things will take away your integrity. And it'll make a hardworking man a lazy man. It does that. It'll make you dishonest. It'll make you lie. Alcoholics and drug addicts, they lie to everybody. Matter of fact, you probably assume they're lying to you after a while. And so don't get into those stuff because it removes your integrity. But a principal person, all those decisions are made. Better not to have things. I want to say it's better not to have things and continue in your integrity. Let me show you in Proverbs chapter 19. It's better to lose out. It's better not to have things. It's better to not be wealthy. If you cannot have integrity and make a lot more money, it's better to have your integrity and be poor. Integrity is better than wealth. And by the way, there are a lot of people out there who will lose their integrity for money. You're better off taking the job that isn't immoral and having integrity and walking and saying, look, I can stand before my kids and say, you know what? I've walked in my integrity before you. It's better off to not have integrity and have little. Look at verse 1 of Proverbs 19. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better be poor and have integrity. Better do the right thing. You will be happier. I want to say this, a couple things. People in life, you will find a person who walks in integrity, the Bible says, are content from inside themselves. When you don't have integrity, you will have to get external things. You will have to try to make yourself wealthy or get yourself in a bunch of things and accumulate things to try to be happy because you are not content. When you walk in integrity, there is a peace that I am a good man or a good woman. And nobody can take that from me. It feels really good to be a person of integrity. It does. And when you're not a person of integrity, it'll snowball because you got to erase just thinking about yourself by things external. Because you will not like yourself because you know somewhere deep down you're dishonest, you're lazy, you're cheating, you're not right with people. You choose what you do, whether you're going to do something, my circumstances, and you will not like the look in the mirror. Because of who you are. You will not like who you are. And you can talk yourself into it. Well, they deserved it. You can do all you want to do. But in the end, well, everybody else is doing it. An integrity person does not do it because everybody else, even if everybody else is doing it. Everybody else's work is slacking off. Okay. They don't have integrity. You don't. Because you have integrity. Everybody else is stealing from the boss. Okay. So there'll be one person with integrity at work. And so you'll feel good when you do that, and so you walk in your integrity. It's better to be poor, better to lose out. It's good. First of all, integrity. What does it do? It guides us. It brings the blessings from God. Look at Psalm 41. It brings blessings. God blesses people of integrity. And I want to say a lot of people have integrity. A lot of people have integrity. You grew up with it. I want to say. Integrity of lack thereof usually is passed down very strongly to children. Very strongly. Lazy people beget lazy people. Dishonest people beget lazy. I love when somebody who lies all the time and lies their husband and lies their boss and tells their kids, don't you dare lie to me. And integrity is passed on that way for good or for bad. And so if you don't have integrity, you can gain it. There's methods we'll talk about next week. You've got to get it because it brings blessing from God. And look at Psalm 41 and verse 11. By this I know that thou favorest me because mine enemies do not triumph over me. As for me, thou upholdest me with mine integrity. Thou settest before me settest me before thy face forever. And so he says, you know, you uphold me because of my integrity and you're going to triumph because I'm right in this thing. And so it brings the blessings of God. Next, it keeps the devil from destroying you. and keeps the devil from destroying you. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians. Let me illustrate this with an illustration I'm going to use now, and I'm going to use a little bit later. 2 Corinthians, and let me read you out of chapter 2. Maybe if I get time next week, I'll also tell you how to spot people of integrity. Integrity bleeds all over your life. And there's things about people's integrity that they have. And by the way, this is next week. People who don't have integrity will go to you and attack people of integrity. Because if they really have integrity, then the person attacking them doesn't. Hope I phrased that right. People without integrity don't like people with integrity. They try to find their faults. Why? Because if that person really has integrity, then they're a bum. And so generally, people of integrity get attacked a lot. That's true. Okay, let me illustrate this. I'll read this verse here in 2 Corinthians. All right. Went out last night, took the same piece of wood, and I saw these are from the same piece of wood. Went out in my garage last night, saw these out. These are from the same piece of wood. They're pretty much exact same size. Everything about them is the same. These are two pieces of, what is that? That is half-inch plywood. And so, no, that's not half-inch. That's 5/8. 5/8? What do you think, Aaron? Okay. So 5/8 inch plywood here. And I got two pieces, twin pieces, cut from the same piece of wood. Only one little difference in this. This piece is whole. Of course, they both got little faults in them. You know, it's plywood. It's got little knots here and little chunks of wood out of there. This one here has got a little piece of wood out of there and kind of a piece of missing down the middle there. It's just plywood. Plywood. This isn't the expensive plywood. And the only difference is on this piece of wood, I cut a little line in it. You see that little line? Let me show you this little line. See that little line there? I cut that little piece of line there. This one, I didn't. Okay? In construction, or in a lot of work, you would say this piece of wood has lost its integrity. See, this piece of wood is now, because that little fault right there, and it's not very deep at all, because that little slice right there I made in that thing, this piece of wood is significantly weaker than this piece of wood now. This piece of wood, If you had a cut in some kind of brace across the ceiling, you would never put that piece of wood like this. Because that little fault right there, it's like if you have one little spot in your tire where all the rubber got broken off and you just see the steel belt there, if the tire blows, guess where it's going to blow? On the spot where there's no more integrity. Guess where this, and we'll illustrate this in this morning's sermon, guess where this piece of wood is going to break later? It's going to break right there. Did I tell you where it's going to break? Why? It lost its integrity, so now it has a weak spot, and that is where it is going to break later. In construction, you call it scoring something. You take a little utility knife, you cut a piece of styrofoam, you cut a piece of plastic, you cut a piece of roofing, you cut a thousand different things, and all of a sudden, you just bend it, and it'll bend right at that spot. And it's been scored, now you just bend it, and it'll bend at that one spot, and you have your line, and it's ready to break. And you do that with, you can do that with all kinds of different materials. And so, I didn't learn that in calculus, I learned that in woodshop, by the way. And so you do that. So lots of integrity. Now let me show you this. So you are going to break where you've lost your integrity. Satan's going to break your life. He's going to ruin your life. He's going to make you fall where you don't have integrity. That's going to ruin your life. If you don't have integrity, you've got to get integrity. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And let me read verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why? Verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan gets an advantage if you don't forgive, guys. So you better learn to forgive. And I want to say this. If you can't forgive, you have a big breaking point where Satan's going to get you. It doesn't matter if your problem is bitterness, lack of forgiveness, if it's you're terrible in your with your family, it doesn't matter if it's thievery or lust. If you have an integrity problem, guess where Satan's stomping? And guess what will destroy you? See, Satan's always going to find the fault, and it's always going to pop back up, and you're going to be ruined, and you might come back to God, but you're going to, guess where you're going to fall again? Until you get integrity in that area, not just stop doing a sin, but get integrity in that area. Until you get integrity, Satan's got a weakness, and he's got an advantage, for we're ignorant of his devices. He gets that, and he finds that weakness, and he does it. And so... Paul often would say, you got a big problem here. 1 Corinthians 6:7, he says, there is utterly a fault among you. You go to law with one another. You guys have a problem with revenge and not forgiving and trying to defraud one another in court. And there's a fault, and the church is going to be destroyed because there's a lack of integrity. There's a big fault. Ephesus had one major fault. They left their first love, and God said, I'm going to remove your candlestick out of its place. I'm going to make it so you're no longer a church. Why? The church did 7 or 8 good things, but it didn't have integrity. It had a big fault right in the middle of that church, was it left its first love. No wonder Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is imperfect. Complete yourself. Don't leave an area of fault. Why? Because when you try to become an excellent Christian and the pressure comes on, that crack, you keep on hearing the cracking in that one area. And sometimes it snaps in that area because you don't have integrity, because it's not principles. It's just you're just trying to do things. You've not become something you need to become. Let me show you this. Watch how one person is destroyed and one person falls. Great illustration of this is let me take it. 1 Kings in the Old Testament. This verse shows it so powerfully. Chapter 9. Let's take dishonesty. Do you know how many ways the devil can destroy you through dishonesty? You will lie to your spouse. You will lie to people. You'll lie to your pastor when he's asking you how you're doing. You will lie to your boss. If you're dishonest, you will lie to God. 1 John says we deceive our own selves. You lie to yourself. See, one fault where you don't have integrity in you, and it's very dangerous. First Kings... Chapter 9, God is talking to Solomon and telling him what to do. Verse 4, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Now, he's talking to Solomon. Let's use a little logic here. Those of you who know your Bible, if he's talking to Solomon, had David fallen yet? Well, David fell with Bathsheba, Solomon's mom. He committed adultery, then murder. This is decades after David had fallen into adultery and murder. Okay? He's talking to Solomon, David's son, from Bathsheba, the woman he committed adultery with. So this is way afterward. David had committed adultery and murder, but it wasn't his life. He fell. Okay? God says David walked before me with integrity of heart and walked like him. Solomon, however, this person he's talking to, did not have integrity, and he did not fall. He was destroyed because he didn't have integrity. And let me show you where Solomon is destroyed. It's not far from here. And this is 1 Kings chapter 11. Now watch the difference between a slip and fall and an integrity problem, a breaking spot, a spot where the devil has an advantage. let's see. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But Solomon loved many strange women, together the daughter of Pharaoh and women of Moabites, of whom, verse 2, the Lord said, don't go. And he said, surely I'll turn away, they will turn away your heart after their gods. But Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives. Do you think he had an integrity problem and he couldn't stop? And 300 concubines. and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 9, and the Lord is angry with Solomon. Do you see, this was David, and David had, he fell. And he did something wrong, and it was bad. Bad things happen. But he had integrity, and he repented and got right, and God blessed him, and he wrote wonderful psalms afterward. Solomon had a fault. He loved many strange women and couldn't stop. And so Solomon, with his fault here, he had that spot where Satan could just stomp on him. And his heart was turned away from God, and God was angry with him. So we've got to be people of integrity. People who don't have to be watched. People who have character in us that says, no, I don't do that. Not, let me think about it. You know, when you don't have integrity, people can see that weakness who are bad, and they will come towards you and continue to try. Once you get integrity, bad people no longer try with you. Can I say that? I want you to get that. It makes life so much easier. When you have integrity, you know how many people offer me drugs anymore? You know how many people try to get me to steal? It just, but somehow Satan or them or evil senses that right there and says, you know what? Let's try again. And they said no last time, but let's try again because they don't have the integrity. And so integrity is vital. You become something. A woman of integrity laughs in the face of a guy who has to do something immoral. Then she slaps him. But it's like, are you serious? I'm a woman of integrity. Not, oh, no, I probably should. Well, no, I better not. Let me text Susie and see what she says. There's no integrity there. And so integrity is this thing that when it comes to the situation, you know what? You are something, so you're solid. You are something. And it guides you, it preserves you, it brings God's blessing. But when you have a lack of integrity in your life, and a person of integrity kind of believes in every area of their life, they're honest, they're hardworking, they're pure, they're good, they're holy, they're righteous. Integrity you want it to encompass your whole life so that you're a person that is principled, is a good word. They're a principled person. This is what they're going to do. By the way, let me say this, in leading, if a husband is not principled, but just occasionally tries to do right, the wife will be very upset in following him because he's erratic. A woman will have a much easier time following a man of principle and integrity because she knows this is who he is, not what he's trying to do for a while that he might stop pretty soon. Really helps to lead when you have integrity. And it helps you to get God's pleased with you, but you've got to say, you know, am I solid and complete, or do I still have these areas that aren't, not where you, and I'm not saying you don't slip up. You slip up sometimes. We all slip up sometimes. We're human. If any man say he has no sin, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him, 1 John 1:8. But do you have integrity? Do you have something in you that says, I am this? You say, I don't have that. I'm dumb. I am so dishonest. I'm so lazy. Listen, I had zero integrity when I got saved and became a Christian. Zero. You would have a hard time finding an area where I would say, I absolutely won't do that. But you know what? We have an amazing God who can teach you how to have integrity and can make you solid. And God's amazing. He can do that. It's pretty hard to do by yourself, but with the grace of God, next week we'll teach you how to do that, how to have integrity. If you don't have it, how to fix those areas. We'll get into that. Until then, I guess you won't have integrity. Have integrity. Be something. Become something. And have something in you. And then you'll be a solid thing that can handle the weight. Because next service, we're going to talk about integrity and how it'll keep you in the greatest of pressures from doing wrong. Okay? Well, we're going to pray and be dismissed. We'll be back in about 12 minutes for our main service. Any questions on integrity before I pray real quick? We have a couple minutes. I'm not quite as late as I thought. Any questions about integrity? You're afraid to ask, aren't you? It's okay. Not everybody's complete yet. That's it. We got a lot of growing to do. And by the way, yes, sir, Peter. Build upon the rock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Anybody else? Questions? Okay. I want to say this. Life will get a lot easier for you when you get it. You'd be surprised how when the temptation comes, when you've already decided no, it's a lot easier than deciding every time. And when it gets to be in your character and your habit where you automatically don't do that, when the cashier gives you too much money back, you already know you're gonna give the money back to her. She's 17. She has no brain. Don't blame her. She works at McDonald's. Give her back the money, the $10. She's going to get in trouble. Not, look what God did for me today. Integrity already decides things. Integrity already knows what they're going to do. Integrity already knows I'm not going to do that. So the fault's not there. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Help us to have integrity in our lives. Thank you, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Lord, there's other verses we didn't get to. We'll get to next week, but I pray we'd get integrity, and I pray that we'd be people of it, that are solid people, righteous people, people who are something, people who are somebody, because they are complete. Help us to have it, and help us to live it. Help us not to have that cut that the devil can stomp on and break. Lord, bless the service to follow and help us to learn it. And Lord, anybody here who you're speaking to, help them to gain integrity this week and to work on it and help us to fix these things and become people of integrity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be back in main service in about 11 minutes.